Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, July 8, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter 4 to the 2nd edition on page XVI, reading and commenting on paragraph 2, which begins, "This physician had." Today's readers are Phyllis B., Lisa E. S., Phyllis D. for the 12 steps, Lisa E. S. for the 12 traditions, and our readers are Janice P. M., Devorah S., and Penny L. C. Nadia B. will greet newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors, and Robin P. will close this out with some special announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Phyllis D. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Phyllis D. from Central Illinois, and here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Phyllis D. And I will now ask Lisa E. S. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Lisa E. S., recovered and grateful in Northern California. Thank you so much for letting me be of service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Lisa E.S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everybody's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter 4 to the second edition on page XVI. We're on paragraph 2, and I will now ask Janice P.M. to please begin reading.
Well, thank you so much, my dear. I can't even think of your name. Elaine B., of course, my name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Well, this physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma, but had failed. But when the broker gave him Dr. Silkworth's description of alcoholism and its hopelessness, the physician began to pursue the spiritual remedy to his malady with a willingness he had never before been able to muster. He sobered never to drink again up to the moment of his death in 1950. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital for permanent recovery. Excuse my reading. I'm only reading with one eye today. Okay, the physician. Who are they talking about? There's a little history, like it was said. History of Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob was an alcoholic, and then he belonged to this group. And, you know, he did spiritual things. Now, when I came to the OA, especially this group, you know, I had a God in my life and I was spiritual, you know. However, you know, they're talking a little bit different about spiritual means. It wasn't like praying all the time, because that's not what we mean. We have a spiritual malady. Now, when I came in, I knew I had a physical problem. I mean, I knew it. I knew, but I didn't know really like what Dr. Silkworth gave to Bill. Bill W., who was recovered for 6 months at this time, I believe. But anyway, what happened was that Dr. Bob didn't know. He knew the problem. You know, he knew the problem because Bill gave it to him from Dr. Silkworth. But he didn't know, and Bill knew the solution, which was a higher power, and the action of the steps. But you see, Dr. Bob failed because he had some actions that he said he just would never do. He didn't have the willingness when Bill told him, you have to go out and make amends. Oh, my God, he was so afraid, which is a spiritual malady, just like dishonesty and resentment. That's what we mean by spiritual malady. He had a lot of pride, isms, the I, the self, the me. And I wasn't interested in helping anybody else because I was too, concerned with myself. And so wasn't Dr. Bob here. But Bill was trying to tell him, this disease that we have is hopeless as far as me having any power to fix it. And he told him about, the knowledge, and he told him about how Evie gave him the solution and the action. See, this was the part that was missing, was the action, which was vital for these 12 steps to get recovered. And what the whole thing is here is he never had this before. He never had the willingness to do this. And this is the effect, A-F-F-E-C-T, of the influence, which means influence of somebody else, like a recovered compulsive overeater, giving the solution and the action to get to that solution. The effect of one recovered compulsive overeater talking to another one. Yeah, and it's strenuous work. A lot of self-sacrifice here.
Gentle
self-sacrifice.
Reminder.
Thank you so much, Elaine. I was waiting for that. And so it's a spiritual malady that can come from one day, permanent recovery, not just abstinence, and then we start eating again. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to share on this paragraph, please give me your name and first initial of your last name.
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Jody E.
Jody
Lorraine
E.
M. Debbie.
Lorraine M. and Debbie. What's the first initial of your last name, Debbie?
Oh, it was Patty T.
Oh, Patty T. Sorry about that.
Okay.
One more?
Debbie.
Debbie. Okay, great. That's a great lineup. So we have Melanie C., Reggie O., Jody E., Lorraine M., Patty, didn't catch the initial of your last name, and Dev E. So, please go ahead, Melanie C.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. Dr. Bob was treating his disease spiritually, and I was treating mine with Snickers bars and Doritos, and each one wasn't working. It just wasn't working anymore. And matter of fact, it never did work. But those items, for me, gave me such a sensation that was so strong, I robotically became Pavlov's dog. And within that, I couldn't see anymore what it was that I was doing, what I was up against. I just could not. And so it failed, as it did with Dr. Bob. What I like to see and what happened for me and what changed is that, in fact, when I read and was taught about Dr. Silkworth's explanation of what this deal was, he was a world-renowned expert in this field of alcoholism, and he said the powerlessness of this alcoholism is an obsession of the mind that drives me to eat again, and an allergy of the body that condemns me to go mad or die. And when I learned that part of it and took all the diet mentality out of it, I knew now that there was something that could be done about it. And a lot of the shame and the embarrassment and all that stuff that I had around being so obese kind of moved away to another way in which I could look at this kind of thing. And I was so grateful for that. I just couldn't even tell you what it has happened for me.
Melanie, we lost you. Star one to unmute. Melanie C. Well, we seem to have lost Melanie C. So I'm going to ask Reggie O to come back on. And if we hear from Melanie, then we'll have her finish her share. Okay? Please go ahead, Reggie O.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning. Thanks so much for your service and everyone that's here. My name is Reggie O, and I'm very gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. And gosh, what an amazingly powerful paragraph. You know, I've tried to keep this as simple and as clear as I can be. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1985, I had actually tried quite a few spiritual means. I had left the God of my childhood a long time before that because it was not one. It wasn't one that I wanted to carry around with me. But I did try other spiritual solutions. I came into OA, the community, everything that I found was just like an amazing salve to me. And I worked the steps and I got recovered, but I did for quite a while, and my life took off in every direction, but I didn't stay recovered. I didn't stay recovered because I didn't know what I've learned really since I've come to Vision for You, you know, so many years after that. And, you know, the spiritual means here, you know, the spiritual means that we do is, or that, you know, that I practice and that we practice is a solution that involves 12 steps, you know, and the first one, meaning that I'm powerless. I'm powerless over this dis-ease of a physical allergy and of a mental obsession, which I didn't even understand. And not understanding something that controls my life to such an amazing degree is quite, I can't even think of a word to say what that is, but it's crazy making, you know, as this disease is, you know, there's a bit of insanity, a bit of delusion, a bit of everything that goes along with it. And that's what the steps are designed to do, is to remove us step by step, to remove this delusion, to remove this, you know, insanity, one step at a time until it is removed and we get recovered, you know, that we have a psychic change, which relieves the compulsion. And then very key is, as well as everything else up to that point, we have to continue day by day, you know, 10, 11, and 12, you know, the continuation of 1 through 9, we do 10, 11, and 12, and 12 being taking the message out there to another human being, which I didn't do. I didn't do a lot of that before, and I've only found through Vision the power and the amazing wonderfulness of doing that. So I don't know if I have anything else really to say except that, you know, I did find a God in this program, and I, you know, and now I have a power, you know, a power beyond myself, which is always there and available. I have access to that power through this particular spiritual solution, and it is a God of my understanding, which grows every day, week by week, month by month. And I just got the gentle reminder that it's time to close. Thank you. I'm ready. Thank you. Thanks, Elaine.
Okay, thank you so much, Reggie O. And we have Jody E. up next. So please go ahead, Jody E.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. This is a very interesting paragraph indeed. How is it that this physician, Dr. Bob, had repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma but had failed? Why is it that strenuous study of spiritual texts and religions doesn't seem to cure us or even give us relief from this disease? Dr. Bob, I believe, was, you know, a Christian, studied the Bible, from which these 12 steps were derived. The principles are there in the Bible. What was missing? Well, Dr. Silkworth's description was part of the missing piece. We have to put down our substances, whatever they may be. And Dr. Bob probably didn't know that. He probably didn't know that he couldn't have any alcohol whatsoever in any form, even in cough syrup vanilla extract. He didn't know that. He didn't know that he had to put the plug in the jug because he was triggering the allergy of the body. Dr. Silkworth gave him that awareness. He also didn't know about the twist of the mind and how, in order to recover, it was vital that he work with other alcoholics strenuously, which indeed he did end up doing. And so do I, as a compulsive overeater, need to stop eating those foods that trigger the allergy of the body. I also have to work the 12 steps, which are not only spiritual in nature, as are other religions, but they include this 12th step, working with other compulsive overeaters, admitting that I am a compulsive overeater, and helping other compulsive overeaters to a similar recovery. That is the vital piece that was missing for me in my religion, and so long with even within OA that I was unable to do. And I'm grateful to A Vision for You and to this book for finding the solution for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Lorraine M., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Patty.
Hi.
Go ahead, Lorraine.
Hi, it's Lorraine N., as in Nancy. And I just want to express my gratitude, like everyone else. I want to join the course toward our program, this amazing, amazing program of recovery. I also repeatedly tried spiritual means. I was raised in a very Catholic household. I went to Catholic schools right straight through. I joined spiritual diet support groups. I mean, I tried spiritual means, at least I thought I did, and nothing worked for me. And I didn't know that I had a spiritual malady. I was trying to apply a spiritual solution to my physical problem. But so when I came to this program, I learned that I have a spiritual malady and that the spiritual solution is in the Big Book. And two things happened for me that changed everything. Going through the Big Book and the steps with a Recovered Vision sponsor, and then taking others. That's the biggest surprise of my life, is sponsoring. And God, it's just such a gift. I never got this far in the program before. I mean, I just never did. I look back and, my whole life was self-will run riot. I was in and out of this program for 40 years. But something is different about Visions, and it's the Big Book for me. And now I've been working with three women for the last couple of months, and two of them have completed the steps. The third one is almost there, and I am just so excited to meet a new sponsee. And I know that God will bring the right people to my life. And I don't know, I just am filled with gratitude this morning, and I can't say enough. If there's somebody new on the line or struggling or coming back, or just keep coming back, hang in there, call people, outreach. One of the joys of my life is when I get a call from someone who's outreaching and or wants to do a 10th step, like yesterday, and it happens more and more. The more I get involved, the more people come into my life, the more I reach out myself. I'm just very grateful today. I'm so glad to be getting back in the very beginning and going through this book. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine M. Patty T., you are up next, followed by Dev E. Please go ahead, Patty.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, everybody. This is Patty T. from recovering today from Southern California, and you know, this paragraph is and all the shares have just been so spot on for me this morning. The physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means. You know, there was a belief in a higher power. There was a belief in a God of his understanding. But there was no reliance on that God to help this problem, because the fact of the matter is that he didn't understand the problem. And like him, neither did I. Until I walked into these rooms at 51. And then after I walked into the rooms, for the first 12 years of that time, I was deaf to hear the problem. You know, I didn't want to read the big book. I didn't want to read Dr. Silkworth. I just wanted to be with the fellowship, and I just wanted to be given permission to eat my little, you know, abstinence food plan or whatever it was, and then keep going. And of course, as I changed, and as my character defects came up to start turning me back to the food, that mental obsession, I didn't understand what that was, right? And so every time I for a 6-year period of chronic relapse, I kept going back to the food, because I could not handle the pain of not having it to dull the pain of whatever I was in or why, right? Because I didn't understand the physical allergy, and I didn't understand the obsession of the mind. That obsession of my mind that always told me that food is going to solve this. Just another bite, just another, you know, treat, just another this or that, you know, is going to make this all okay, right? And I got into vision 2 years ago, and I began, because out of desperation, because I realized finally that nothing I had been doing in my program was treating my spiritual malady. I would have periods of spiritual relief and periods of connection with higher power, but I couldn't maintain that because of the obsession of the mind and the fact that I was still putting allergic foods into my body, creating that craving. So I was still in that catch-22 mode and expecting God, but not relying on God to fix me. So this has been, over this last 2.5 years, has been an amazing, amazing journey and adventure for me to understand what the problem
is. Gentle reminder.
And I'll wrap up. And how to have that solution, that recovery on a daily basis by reliance upon a God and a power greater than myself. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patty T. And Dev E is up next. And after Dev, we will take another lineup on forward to the second edition, paragraph 2, which begins with the physician had. Please go ahead, Dev E.
Good morning. This is Debbie, recovered in Southern California. And there are some really big promises in this paragraph. You know, the first thing that stood out to me was this never to drink again until the moment of his death. It's like, that sounds so great that, you know, I want that. I want to continue to remain abstinent and recovered for the rest of my life. You know, that is a great hope of mine. I will continue to be willing to do the work on a daily basis to achieve that. And permanent recovery, that's also, you know, it gives me a lot of hope that it can happen. And if I think of where I am today compared to where I was when I started in OA, or even just like 5 years ago, it sometimes feels like I'm not even a compulsive overeater. You know, I'm reminded very quickly by all my character defects, but in terms of the food, there's so much neutrality around it and the food behaviors that it's easy for me to sometimes forget, you know, what it was like. And this part that the physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means. I was all about praying before recovery, but in the wrong way. You know, I was constantly praying out of fear and worry, and it was always like, please don't let this happen, or please let this happen. I never on my own would have guessed that the solution to my eating disorder was a spiritual remedy, that I could rely on God and lean on God like I do today. You know, I ask, I surrender every morning. I surrender my day and my will to my higher power, and I ask that, you know, that God hold my hand throughout the day. And I really feel like I'm being held and led. I really feel I take a lot of comfort in that. I'm not alone anymore. I don't have to figure this out on my own. And the last thing I want to share was the last sentence, that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. So we can have a permanent recovery, but not without the work and not without helping others. So this is, again, one of those reminders for me that it's simple but not easy, and that I'm happy to help others. You know, I'm grateful that I always had the example of helping others. You know, I can be hard on my mom sometimes when I think of some of the things I feel like I picked up from her that were not helpful to me. But she continues to be a good example of helping others. And this is in a different way, but still, when I want to go into resentment and thoughts like that, I need to remember that there are people around me who may not be even in program, but who have shown me the way of being of service. And I think it's because of that when I learned it in program, there was something in me that recognized it. It's like, oh, I've heard this before. Yes, being of service. And for me in particular, as a compulsive overeater who is working this program, I need to make that service about helping other compulsive overeaters. Thanks so much, and I pass.
Thank you very, very much, Dev E. So, gentle reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, I'd like to take about five names here.
Nadia B.
Laura R.
Nadia B. and Laura R.
Laura H.
Laura H., I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Lois P.
Lois P. And one more.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C. Okay, great. Okay, so I may be able to fit one more in, so let's give that a try. Anybody else want to get on the list?
Deborah M.
Deborah M. Okay, great. So hopefully we'll be able to fit everybody. And so we've got Nadia B, Laura R, Laura H, Lois P, Penny L C, and Deborah M. And please get us started, Nadia B.
Thank you so much for your service, Elaine. The sentence that stuck to me today is that this seems to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. And you know, Dr. Bob was going to Oxford Group as I was going for all my, you know, I was seeking spiritual remedy to my, you know, to my condition, churches, yoga retreats, you know, even OA rooms. But I did not understand the physical allergy and a mental obsession entirely. Not enough to achieve a mental clarity and understanding in order to apply all that this program had to offer, because I was trying to do it on my own. And that's why for me, you see, it's great to seek outside help, but not everybody understands my condition as another human being who's had a spiritual experience as a result of working this program, who you know, benefited from all that this program had to offer. The one who helped me understand, who broke this idea that Dr. Silkworth had, you know, about physical allergy and mental obsession. And I think we do have it hard with food because it is a little harder to identify. And I needed help in understanding what is it that I'm supposed to abstain from. And once I achieved that entire abstinence and was able to feel, everything that I needed to feel in order to work this program, to apply this program to my thinking, understanding of what this, physical malady and mental obsession means, only then, with the help of this, alcoholic, another one, that, that I could apply this to my life and achieve this state of mind that was vital to my permanent recovery. And, I'm so grateful today that we have these experiences. Bill and Dr. Bob, they only had a theory. We don't. We do have a proof that this work, that one alcoholic could affect another as non-alcoholic could. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nadia B. We have Laura R. up next, and she'll be followed by Laura H. Please go ahead, Laura R.
Thank you. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. Great to be on the line today. Love this paragraph. What stuck out to me was the physician began to pursue the spiritual remedy for his malady with a willingness he had never before been able to muster. And, Dr. Bob was going after the spiritual aspect before, but what's different? And again, as we heard today, just understanding the problem, and realizing that I am screwed. There's no outrunning this disease. If I got it, I got it. The bottom line is for me to finally get out of denial and accept the fact that I am powerless over this disease, body, mind, and spirit. And I love that, with a willingness he had never before been able to muster. He ran, man. Like, he ran. Him and Bill, like, they went after it the moment he got abstinent. And once, with the leader, when she was speaking today, after he heard the solution and the problem from Bill, he decided he didn't want to do the amends piece. And then when he drank again, at that point, boom, he realized, like, oh my gosh, I really get this. I am in trouble. And then did the amends. And I believe he was even like drinking that morning and they went through the steps again and bam, he went through the amends process and he had never drank again. For me, when I was first in OA, I remember a sponsor telling me, Laura, you are doing everything but OA. I'm like, I don't understand what you're talking about. And she's like, you have to put your recovery first above everything, your family, your religion, your everything. And it was like, well, how am I supposed to do that? And it's like, well, then you're not ready. And I just didn't get that. And it actually really upset me. I'm doing so much. She's like, that's the problem. You're doing so much, but not your recovery. And, once I got it and put everything above, hey, I'm sorry, husband, I have to be on the phones for this meeting. Sorry, husband, I have to make calls today. Sorry, family. But you know what they needed? That was fine. The moment I took charge of my own recovery, they're like, well, about time. Because I was just dilly-dallying back in the food here and there, making calls, not making calls, just take care of yourself, Laura. Recover, recover, recover. And, reading so many different the prefaces and the forewords and looking at Bill and Bob and their willingness to take charge and create this program, help other alcoholics, it just blows me away. What am I willing to do to keep my recovery today? And I love what it says, is that it's, strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. And that's what I need to do today. What is it? Trust God, clean house, work with others. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. Laura H., you're up next. And we're getting a little tight on time, so if people could be mindful if they're able to shave off a little bit of their share, then perhaps we can fit everybody in. So please go ahead, Laura H., and you're followed by Lois P. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Laura H., and I'm from Chicago. I'm just so grateful to be on this call this morning and listening to all the wonderful shares. Boy, the beginning, just the very text that we just read, there is so much hope. And I want to share with anyone on the line, myself, I've been in programs since 2014. I came in weighing 350 pounds. I was struck abstinent. God released 130. And then life started to happen, and I got a little busy for my program. And I had lots of things I had to do. And so little by little, which I didn't know at the time, I was, you know, in relapse before I knew it. So put on about 53 pounds, exactly 53 pounds, and have since been abstinent for now over 70 days. And God's taken 30 pounds. I don't know what it was. The scale is not what's important. What's important is that God does for me what I can never do for myself. And I love the word that we have a spiritual malady, because I too went looking for everything under the sun on retreats and all of that. And Dr. Bob was with that Oxford group for so many years, but it wasn't until he realized the severity, and we will never be free of it. But I just want to say to anybody on the line, if you're struggling, the answers are in the big book. Keep coming back. And that's all I got. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much, Laura H. Lois P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Penny L. C. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P. from New York. I have to say that everyone that just preceded me has said everything I want to say. But there's something here for me that was especially powerful, and that is Dr. Silkworth's description of alcoholism and its hopelessness. I never realized that it was a chemical or biological or physical problem. I always assumed I was fat, I was different, I looked unlike most people, and I was ashamed of that. I thought I was responsible for that. And I carried this weight, not just physical, but this emotional and spiritual weight on me my entire life, because it seemed like everyone else was normal and I was abnormal and there was something definitely wrong with me. And in this phrase of description of alcoholism and its hopelessness, I came to realize, thank you, God, through working with wonderful people in Vision, that it is not my fault. This is my get-out-of-jail card. You know, it's realizing that it's a physical brain issue and I cannot get well. I don't care how often I prayed, and I have over my lifetime, I have beseeched God, you know, please help me with this. But meanwhile, I was taking in these food substances that were triggering a physical reaction, and that made me completely powerless despite of my prayers. So the idea that this is not our fault, this is something, please, everyone out there, understand it's not your fault. This is a physical condition. We need to address it as that. And once I've begun doing that, once I began doing this, I put those substances down that triggered this illness or this allergy, and I began to really open to God in a whole other level, a whole other way than I was ever able or capable of doing before. Because now the channels, as it says in the big book, are clearer. They're open. The obstruction to God is being removed through now working with the steps, finding my character defects, finding the things that stand in the way of me communicating with my supreme being, with my beloved. Now it can happen because I put down the substances that were preventing me from doing that. So I want everyone to know it's not your fault. And with that, I love you, and I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lois T. Penny L. C., you are up next, and I believe we will have a few minutes for Deborah M. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for your service. Good morning. This is Penny L. C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. What I appreciate about reading this is the reminder that it takes all of the components that I'm willing to make changes in for me to be able to get recovered. And it's a combination. I need the physical, I need the mental, the emotional, and I need the spiritual. And how does that all fit together?
I tried different means physically, but those were non-functional because I kept thinking I could go back to my alcoholic foods once I got the weight off. Well, that wasn't ever going to be the case. I had to figure out through Dr. Silkworth's explanation that I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And until I identified my alcoholic foods and was willing to release them and never ingest them again, I was going to continue to repeat the cycle. It also showed me, though, that I needed a spiritual recovery. And I had sought what I thought was spiritual, but I look back now and I realize it was more religious. It was more following the tenets of a group of people that believed a certain way, and I was doing my best to believe what they believed. But it didn't help me because I needed a God of my own understanding, a God that I could relate to, that was there for me personally. And once I found that God through this process of reevaluating, then I could get that spiritual connection going, which was going to make the difference, so that I understood it was up to me to follow my higher power's will, not my will. And then, again, this program brought it together for me because it was the fellowship. I couldn't do it by myself. I needed to be hand in hand with others walking this journey that understood the malady. And again, on top of that, I needed to find that part where once I found a solution, I was willing to share it with others. So it's really a component. All these components have to come in together. And with that, we're able to become recovered. And what a gift. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny Elstie. And Deborah M., you'll be our final share for today. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Deborah M. from Baltimore, Maryland, a compulsive overeater. I knew that I have to talk for this paragraph because Dr. Bob has a special place in my heart. When I first came to Vision, I put down the food, but the craving remained. And I could not figure out why the craving and obsession remained. And someone in AA said, read Dr. Bob's story. He didn't lose the craving right away either. And so I did, and I just felt like I didn't know why, but Dr. Bob and I had something in common, and we were buddies. And then recently, a fellow on the phone began to talk to me about self-seeking behavior. And it was like she turned a flashlight on in my head. And I began to see that sometimes the obsession in my mind that I thought was food was really self. And I found that I was always thinking about self. What do I look like? Do people notice I've lost weight? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do about that decision? What if something happens to my son? And my mind was so filled and obsessed with self, self, self. And when I began to see that as part of my obsession and not healthy and not spiritual behaviors, I began to say, oh, and this morning I heard someone say, Dr. Bob wasn't willing to make amends. He had self-seeking behaviors. So there's the ticket. That's where we have something in common. The other thing is, when I get on the line one-to-one with someone, I pray that I can be helpful. But I always get off the line thinking, wow, I better go pray about that, what I just heard. So I'm just a very thankful person that we have Vision, that we had not just Bill, but Dr. Bob, and that we have one another. We can turn the light on for each other. My sponsor tells me that when my mind is busy and full of those panicky thoughts, I'm going to be thinking anyway. I might as well think of what I'm grateful for. And so when I start, what about this? What about that? I begin to say thank you. Thank you the food's down. Thank you for my roof over my head. Thank you I have healthy food to eat. And so thank you all for this. I pass.
Thank you to Deborah M. And thank you everybody who shared, came, listened, read. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164. So I will now ask Deborah S. to please read A Vision for You.
Thank you, Elaine. Hi, everybody. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.